I think we are very familiar, brethren, with circumstances that we see in the Gospels regarding Christ's association with the outcasts of society. The religious authorities often criticized him for associating with people of bad reputation, tax collectors, sinners, harlots. But this was an important part of his ministry. And whatever Christ did in his ministry shows God's love for mankind. And God realizes our plight. He knows that mankind, well, we've made a mess of ourselves. We really have. Our lives, our world is just messed up. And we're paying the price for our sins. And God has compassion on our plight. And this we see in the gospel accounts. What we also see is Christ's decision consistently throughout the Gospels to associate with people who were considered the dregs of society. Their willingness to come and hear him showed what was in their heart. And often we see that throughout the Gospel accounts, where the tax collectors and the harlots, the sinners, the classified as the lowest of society, the outcasts, were often the ones who came to hear him. He associated with the despised of the world. And in that theme that runs throughout the Gospels, we should see ourselves. We should see ourselves as also being among the outcasts of this world. And we should have in us the qualities that Christ saw in them, why he chose to associate with them. Like them, we have made a mess of our lives. All of us have sinned, but we have believed the gospel and made the change. What we see in the story of the sinners and the outcasts and the tax collectors is picturing God's salvation, not only for us, but for all of mankind. All of mankind we could see in this same story. And that fits quite beautifully, actually, into the upcoming feast season. We're going to look at, first of all, one particular man. We'll start out in the Gospel of Luke. And we'll look in the Gospel of Luke and see the calling of one particular outcast, a tax collector named Matthew. Now, all three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, talk about the calling of Matthew. And Matthew was, of course, the one who wrote the beautiful Gospel after his name, the giving the account of Christ's life. He became a trusted disciple and later an apostle. We'll look at the account of his calling in Luke chapter 5, if you would come with me to Luke chapter 5, and we'll begin here in the scriptures today. And starting in verse 27, it says, after these things, I'll just read through the account, then comment on it. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi, and that was Matthew's Jewish name, or his Hebrew name, Levi. He's sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. And so he left all, rose up, and followed him. And then Levi, or Matthew, gave a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained to his disciples and said, why do you eat with the tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered and said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that is the crux of today's message. This is God's will. This is why Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He's come for the lost, for the outcast, for the ones who admit they need to change. And he shows abundant mercy to the ones who come to him and want to hear his message and make the change in their lives. And we should see ourselves in that story, because deep in the heart of the tax collector in the Gospels is a desire to change, to be different, to repent and come to God. We should see our own need for God's mercy in their story, the story of the tax collectors and Jesus. We're going to focus today on this particular character that we see in numerous places in the scripture, in the gospel accounts, the tax collector. We're going to see God's mercy in this for us and for all men. And Christ's association with the tax collector shows us that. So we read the account here of what Matthew did when Christ called him into the ministry. He threw a feast, and Christ went in to eat with them. And he was criticized for doing that, but that's where he wanted to be, because those were the ones who were receptive to his message. So I've titled this story, really this sermon, Eating with the Tax Collectors, Eating with the Tax Collectors. Now, the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that show the calling of Matthew when Jesus said, come, follow me, and Matthew left all and just followed. We don't see anything in the accounts, even in Matthew's own account, we don't see any of the predisposition of Matthew. Why would he suddenly just do that? We don't see that there. But all three accounts tell us that. And it's as if, I think, when we look at the story, as if God wants us to think about that. What was it in Matthew that caused him to leave all and follow him? Well, what we do see in the scriptures regarding him is that Matthew was a Levite. He was of the tribe of Levi. That was his name, Levi, and his Jewish name. He was of the priestly tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. And what did God give the priestly tribe to do? They were to work in the temple and give service to God in the temple. What was Matthew doing? He was a tax collector. He wasn't doing what God had called his tribe or his family to do. He knew that. He was a tax collector, working for the Romans, the governing authority. Now, I looked online. You could get a commentary very easily. Most every commentary says the same thing about why tax collectors were hated. Why were they so despised? So I've just chose one. This is the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible, 5-volume set. Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia. This is what it says about tax collectors. As a class, tax collectors were hated by their fellow Jews, and this was almost inevitable. They represented the foreign domination of Rome, and their methods were necessarily inquisitorial. That's a big word, inquisitorial. What that means is they asked a lot of questions. You know, like we get a lot of questions today from the IRS. How big is your house? Or how much money did you make? How many people work for you? How much did you produce from your land? These are the kinds of questions that the tax man asks us today, and by necessity, the tax collectors of that day, in order to determine what you owed, asked a lot of questions. But they often overcharged people, and they pocketed the surplus. That is almost certain. In the rabbinical writings, they are classified as robbers. So we know from history that tax collectors were known to skim off the top, take extra for themselves, charge more than they should. And often they are bracketed in the Gospels with sinners. In the same sentence, you'll see sinners and tax collectors. They were considered to be renegades who sold their service to the foreign oppressor to make money at the expense of their own countrymen. So they were a hated class. I think that's pretty obvious when we read the scriptures, when we understand that is exactly what we see in the scriptures being portrayed. What else do we know about Matthew and his calling? Well, we know he was from Capernaum. He worked in Capernaum. And we know that was Christ's hometown. That was the base of his ministry in Capernaum. And Matthew was working there. Now, this was also at his time of his calling, a few months into the ministry of Christ. A few months had passed by. And so what was happening? The word of Jesus' ministry was going out. People were hearing about this man. And Matthew would have been hearing about this man. And Christ obviously saw something of immense value in him and called him. And we see Matthew's actions, just leaving everything and following him. Well, there was something about him that Christ saw. And Matthew was ready at that point because he realized who he was and he made that change. We could see it in his actions. And what did he do? Oh, this was a great cause for rejoicing. So he threw a banquet and invited all his tax collector friends and all those who were considered the sinners and the outcasts. And that's when Christ received this criticism. Why are you eating with such people like this? But something very great had happened in Matthew's life and was cause for celebration, cause for rejoicing. In the heart of the tax collector, in the heart of Matthew, Christ saw something of great value. So let me make this point. Why would Christ, what was it that Christ sees in him? He sees a person who recognizes that they need help. That person sees himself as he is. He's realizes that there's not something not right, and I need help. And we must also see ourselves in that, that we look at ourselves and see that we also need God's help. They see their need to change. In the Gospels, we see they see the gospel message, the truth, and they respond to it. Let's go over to Luke chapter 3. The tax collectors were among those who listened and came to hear the message of John the Baptist. We're going to spend most of our time in Luke today. Well, Luke chapter 3 tells us about the calling or the ministry, rather, of John the Baptist. A couple of verses there in verse 3 and 4 tells us that he went into the region. This is John the Baptist all around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance and the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." That was his message. And the people began to respond. People came to him. They came to John, asked him what they must do. But these were not the Pharisees or the teachers of the law who came, but they were the outcasts of society. If you read the account, you'll see the Roman soldiers came. And you also see in verse 12 of Luke 3, the tax collectors. The tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" You know, you think about that, that's really someone who's ready to repent. Someone who's saying, you know, I need to change. And we could see ourselves in that. I need to make a difference or something, do something different in my life. So they asked John, "What shall we do?" And he said to them, verse 13, "Collect no more than what is appointed to you." In other words, Be an honest tax collector. Don't take more. Don't charge more. Don't skim off the top. Be an honest tax collector. Take only what is appointed for you. And John's ministry then, after this, it starts to decrease. And the ministry of Jesus Christ begins to increase. And many people began now to follow Jesus Christ and to come to hear him. Let's go over to Luke chapter 7 now. As John's ministry decreases and the ministry of Jesus Christ increases, John, who is still baptizing, who's still preaching, sends some disciples to Jesus. And he says in Luke 7, verse 19, you'll see it there, "Are you the one coming, or the coming one, or do we look for another?" This was what John sent his disciples to ask Jesus. And Jesus, what did he do? Showed that he was the one. He did that day many healings. Many were infirmities had come to him, afflictions, people blind, and he gave them sight, as you see in verse 21. And then he explains to the people then the ministry of John, and he says to them, verse 28 now, "I say to you that among those who are born of women," this is verse 28, "there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven," or kingdom of God, "is greater than he." Those who were responding to Christ's message were greater than even the John the Baptist in coming into the kingdom of God. And verse 29, "And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John." They made the change in their lives. But notice the response of the ones who were in authority, those who were the ones of stature in society. What was their response? Verse 30, "But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him." You know, they didn't listen to John. They didn't make the change. They didn't receive that baptism from John, but the tax collectors did. This showed that they realized their need to change. And the will of God for all mankind is that our eyes would be open to the truth and we would repent. We don't want to become calloused and not see our need for that, like these Pharisees and teachers of the law. We want to be like the tax collectors. We should see ourselves and what they did. We should see that in our own actions, that we realize our needs to change. So Christ then, now, verse 30, or continuing here in verse 31, gives a lesson that is very critical of those who are refusing to recognize their need for salvation. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't recognize their need. So he says, teaches this lesson, verse 31. "To what then shall I liken the men of this generation?" What are they like? "They are like the children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you didn't dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep.'" It's like saying, you know, you weren't the Messiah we were expecting. We weren't expecting that. This is not what we wanted. And he continues, "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine." So he ate locusts and honey, as we know from the story, from the gospel story. And you say, well, he has a demon. You know, John was in the wilderness, clothed in camel's hair, preaching a message of repentance. He's got a demon. "And the Son of Man comes eating and drinking," and you say, ah, well, that's a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. We can't hear him. That's not what we're expecting. was because they didn't see in their own heart what they needed to do. They didn't see the need for salvation. And then he says, but wisdom, verse 35, is justified by her children. The tax collectors and sinners turning to God, well, that looked like foolishness to the men of that generation, to the ones who were in the places of stature, not considered the outcasts. That looked like foolishness to them. But this was the wisdom of God. And the foolishness of God, as we see in other places of Scripture, is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. And so it did appear like foolishness to see the dregs of society, the so-called bottom dwellers, and the so-called wise, the leaders of the people, totally missing the opportunity. But the ones who were the dregs, they were the ones who saw their need. But the others totally missed it, even though it was standing right in front of them. The wisdom of God is foolishness to men. God sees in the tax collector, in the scriptures, we see that he values something in the heart of the tax collector. So that's the second point. He values something in the heart. They realize their need to change. That was the first point. The second point, God values that. He values it. Luke 15, come over here to Luke 15. Another story. What did the first verse say there in Luke 15? And then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him, and the Pharisees complained. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. He eats with the tax collectors. But he wanted to, because they were the ones who were receiving his message. And he saw that in their hearts, that they came to hear him. He could see that willingness to change. And God has compassion on that one who is pliable and willing. And for that one, God will go to the greatest lengths to save. So he gives this parable. Beginning in verse 4, this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. This is showing God's rejoicing for one sinner who repents, that he goes to the greatest of lengths to call that one to repent. Imagine now, if you would, brethren, what the joy that we will see in the coming age, in the kingdom of God, when mankind realizes, you know, we have made a complete mess of our world. You know, we've been through, the tribulation has occurred, and we've just made a mess. What do we need to do? And then they start hearing the word of God. And we'll be part of that. If we remain faithful to the end, we are going to be part of that. And we're going to see an entire world turning to God, recognizing their need to change. And what great joy that day is going to bring. Multiplying many times over as the word of God is received and goes into the world, and the world responds finally. The world will be like these tax collectors who are drawing near to God. They want to hear. They want to change. And Christ values that. And this is where we must see ourselves. We must see ourselves like that, where we desire to change, and that Christ sees that, God sees that in us. And so the parable continues, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, verse 6 now, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which was lost. And again, if you can imagine what's coming in the age to come, what kind of rejoicing this world will experience. But I say to you, he's continuing in verse 7, that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who have no need of repentance. But what happens if we deny that message? What happens if we close our hearts, if we keep God out, if we don't want to change, if we don't want to listen? Well, we come now to that very poignant story in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, a tax collector and the Pharisee going up to the temple to pray. This tells us what happens when we harden our heart. We start thinking of ourselves, of ourselves as righteous in our own eyes. So two men, verse 10 of Luke 18, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank you. I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector. Now remember what the tax collector was like. In the gospel accounts, we see him being portrayed as one who knows he needs to change. And this is what God wants. He says, the Pharisees stood and prayed thus with himself, I'm not like him, I'm so thankful. I fast twice a week, verse 12, I give tithes of all I possess. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He sees what he's like. He's not deceiving himself. But I tell you, verse 14, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So we never want to come to that place where we look at ourselves as not needing to change, not needing to hear the word of God. The third point I'll make, that the tax collector, once he hears the message, he gladly changes. Just does it. He does it. He gladly changes. Another story, as we saw previously with Luke or Matthew, he changed. He went and followed Jesus through a big feast, very gladly following Christ from that point on. But Luke 19, another story of a tax collector. I'm familiar with this one. I know every scripture today we know very well. And so Jesus, Luke 19, verse 1, passed through Jericho. Now where was he going? Well, he was on his way to Jerusalem for the final time. And now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd. But he was of short stature, for he was of short stature. I kind of relate, maybe. So he ran ahead, and he climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, where he was going to pass that way. A number of us have been to Israel, and if you go toward Jericho today, there is a tree they think this might have been the one. I mean, it's a very old tree. It's been dated to several thousand years old, 2,000 years old, who knows. But there it is on the main street in Jericho. And so he climbs this tree, Zacchaeus. And Jesus, because he knew what was in his heart, when he came to that place, verse 5, and he looked up, and he saw him, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must stay at your house. And so what was his response? It was immediate. It was joyful, and he came down, as he says, he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. He is eating with that tax collector." Well, then Zacchaeus, you know, after apparently they'd gone to dinner now, and people were complaining about it, and Zacchaeus had seen this, apparently. He stood up. Verse 8. And notice how, again, how quickly he changes, how joyfully he changes. He said, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken from anyone anything by false accusation, I restore it fourfold." Now, I'll just refer you to Exodus 22, verse 1. I will just refer it to you there. But if a man takes a sheep, the Exodus 22 says, 22, verse 1, he restores it fourfold. Gives him four sheep if he takes it. So this is what Zacchaeus did. He's, you know, whatever I've taken, here it is back plus four times as much. And I give everything or half of everything I have to the poor. Joyfully responding very quickly. And this is what Jesus saw in him. This was a man who had realized, you know, there's something I need to do, something I need to change. And we don't know anything else about Zacchaeus. We just don't know, but we could see his actions and see what he did. And Jesus said to him, "Today," verse 9, "salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." And again, that is the crux of this message. This is what God has come to save, that which was lost. We have realized our need. We've responded and responded gladly. Again, brethren, think about the time coming when the whole world will respond. This is what God has come to do, to seek and save that which was lost. You know, one thing that's interesting about Zacchaeus' name, the Hebrew name for Zacchaeus, it means pure. It means pure. And very often we see the characters in Scripture are fitting of their actions, are fitting of their name. And Zacchaeus' name means pure. He was pure of heart, we could say, because of his immediate and joyful repentance and change. The Jews of Christ's day considered tax collectors to be sinners. They were the outcasts. Being Jews who worked for the Roman occupation, they were the traitors. Many were dishonest and took far more than the actual tax that was due them, was due Rome. But in them, in their story, in the Bible, in the Gospels, we could see ourselves. We can see that we need the salvation that has come to the world. Christ wanted to eat with the tax collectors because he valued what was in their hearts. They came to hear him to change. He could see their willingness and had compassion and went to the greatest of lengths, as we know, through his own death, to save this one, this tax collector. And so let's go to one more parable. One more story. This time, we'll leave the Gospel of Luke and go to Matthew. So Matthew the tax collector writes, this is Matthew 21. Matthew 21, a parable about the one who truly did the will of his Father. Verse 28 of Matthew 21. He says, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard? And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it, and he went. And then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. Verse 30. But he didn't go. Which of these two did the will of his father? And they said to him, the first. And Jesus said to them, verse 31, assuredly I say to you, that tax collectors and harlots will enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. We should see ourselves in being like those tax collectors and harlots, the outcast of society, who realize their need for repentance and belief in the gospel. This is the heart that God values, and he will go to the greatest extent to save. He has. Be like them. Be like them. Be willing instantly to follow, leaving everything behind like Matthew did, like Zacchaeus did, welcoming God's salvation. These are the ones with whom Christ would rather eat. Like when he ate and sat down at Matthew's great feast. And the tax collector of the Gospels, we see the downcast and the beaten people of the whole earth. We see in their story God's desire to save to the uttermost the lost and the outcast and despised. We could see ourselves in that story. And truly how beautiful this also pictures, brethren, God's willingness to save all of mankind. A truly beautiful theme of this coming feast season.